I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Right now, I know you've noticed, there is a surge of standing up and speaking out for the faith currently sweeping our nation, right? So I want to get in on it. I want to jump in and begin by asking each of us to ask ourselves, am I up to the task? Boy, that's a good question. Am I up to the task? Because this, the task, is what makes life worth living. I didn't say it, Paul did, and I agree. He said, the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town. Understand now what he's saying. He's taken his life in his hands. The Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not consider my life worth anything to myself so that I may finish my task. And what's that task, you ask? I'm glad you asked. It is simply the ministry. Okay, we're going to call it the ministry. It is the ministry that I, Paul says, and we, as you'll see, received from the Lord Jesus, i.e., he defines it, to testify to the good news, because the world's full of bad news, to testify to the good news of God's grace. That's it, right there. There you go. Because like Paul and all those saved by grace, God reconciled us, right? He reconciled us to himself through Christ, through faith in Christ, and gave us the ministry. The ministry, now it's called of reconciliation. Testifying that God, when Christ died and rose and did all that, that God was reconciling the whole world to himself in Christ. And not counting people's sins against them. That's great news. We are therefore, whether you know it or not, believe it or not, utilize it or not, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, Christ's good news ambassadors. For God so loved the world, just read it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news, right? And his one and only son said, a new commandment I give to you, that just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. It's a commandment. Because by this force of love, by this is Jesus saying, I'll tell you, all people will know that you are my disciples. You ever accidentally tell anyone you love them? I did. I told a very nice lady at a paint store that I love her on accident. See, I often say on the phone, I say, love you, bye. And or if I'm saying goodbye to, you know, people in person, you know, love you, see ya. And to those I hold dear, I say that too. But I just bought some paint, right? And she was funny and she was really nice. And she says, thank you so much. And I said, love you, see ya. And I got two steps and realized, I just told that woman I love her. And I turned back around and I kind of stumbled and I said, what did I say? I said, I love ya. I say that to my, I guess I love you. And she throws her arms out and goes, I love you too. And we laughed. It was funny. It was heartwarming. And as I got in my car, it hit me. I realized that was true. That was a brotherly Freudian slip. Why don't we tell more people we love them? In a casual way. Casual, brotherly, sisterly, platonic way. I do love her. Right? So wherever you go in the world, share the love and get ready, get prepared to tell anyone and everyone the good news of God's love and grace and compassion. Because we are witnesses. We might be bad at it, might be good at it. But we are when we're all he's got. We are witnesses because he commissioned us to testify that. And now this is the good news. It's a two-parter. It starts off sounding like, oh, that's part of it? Yes. To testify that he, thank the Lord, he is the one appointed by God as judge. And the good news is that everyone who just believes in him will receive forgiveness from him of sins. He's the one that gets to judge, and he's the one that has the authority to say, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you get a car, you get a car. Oh, I guess forgiveness of sins by God's grace through our faith. Simple as that. And I want you to notice this verse. This is clearly, definitively, distinctly courtroom terminology. Okay? We need to understand what it means to be a witness. They use courtroom terminology in the Bible on purpose. So why is it, I ask, that when we hear that we are called and commanded and commissioned to be a witness to the world, we tend to recoil at the thought of the dreaded knock? Or we picture an extrovert on a street corner. Now, I am not knocking anyone, but someone does need to tell that gal her flag is upside down. I'm not knocking anyone. I'm just saying it's odd that we picture that and that we don't picture a witness stand. You're called to be a witness. He used the word on purpose. Why don't we picture a witness stand? And right now you might be thinking, well, that's still really intimidating. Oh, I'm not saying it's not intimidating. I'm just saying that's how it's presented, and we should think of it the way the Bible presents it. And if you do just think about it for a moment, it's actually oddly comforting, because a witness doesn't argue the case, right? Or a witness doesn't push for a verdict. This language was used very specifically. A witness doesn't bring a conviction. And I'll tell you what else a witness doesn't do. A witness doesn't jump up any old time they want and say, listen up, I'm a witness. Everybody right here, attention here. No, no. A witness just shares what they know when asked to take the stand. That's it. Right there. Until then, what's a witness do? They sit quietly and wait patiently and watch closely and listen intently and speak softly in their own words. And you know what else is exactly like that? The other example we're given, fishing. Fishing, which is why Jesus called out and still calls out, come along with me, right? We'll do this together. Come along with me, and I will show you how to fish for the souls of men, for the souls of mankind. So make it your ambition to, look, here's the sit quietly. Make it your ambition to sit quietly. Lead a quiet life. And you got to love this. And to mind your own business. I love that this is the Bible telling you how to witness. I don't know why we don't know this as well as we should. Lead a quiet life and to mind your own business. Literally, mind your own business of maturing and trusting in the hope you have. Because the full force of the true task of testifying is always best seen in our worst trials. That's when the world's watching you. So that your daily life, your consistent daily life, may win, slowly win, it's a marathon, win the respect of outsiders who will desire the peace you naturally display. So do not be frightened of the fish, right? But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And which means this: always be prepared. Wait patiently, watch closely, listen intently. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason. That's your scriptures and your first-hand story. the reason for the hope that they want that you obviously have. But speak softly, right? Do this with gentleness and respect. Do that, you have nothing to be afraid of. Did you know that Pops was a fishing guide on the Skagit River for years and years? I tell you, I loved launching that boat, riding in that boat. Oh, he flew up that river. Riding that boat, eating the burgers that he barbecued on the boat, and catching fish. There we are. I love catching fish. That's behind the youth house. And reeling them in and netting them. But I got to be honest, and Dad knows this, we laughed about it this week. I hated fishing. Everything around it I love, but the fishing, the sit quietly, wait patiently, watch closely, listen intently, and speak softly part, and not how I roll, Daddy-O. Oh, and it's just constant. I so often told, calm down or you'll scare the fish. He often would just give up and pull over to a sandbar and let me off the play. He said, I'm not going to catch any fish with you in the boat. Calm down or you'll scare the fish. Truer words were never spoken. You and I, we are called to be bold, but not brash. Right? We're called to be passionate, but not pushy. We're called to be courageous, but not careless. I was going over this with Pops this week. And he just blurts this out. He goes, you need... I was reading some of this. He goes, you need to get saved. Well, you need to get lost. And I said, did you just come up with that? And he says, I think I did. I don't think I ever heard that. And I said, I won't put that in the sermon and tell everyone you said it. So he's still preaching. Because here's the thing. You may not know this, but fish hate being caught. Surprise, surprise. Fish hate being caught. Because this is the verdict right here. Light has come into the world, but people will not come into the light for fear. Because they don't know what it is. They don't know it's about forgiveness and freedom. No, it's just for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now, as Shar can attest, I often speak up on behalf of the fish. I speak for the fish in those survival shows like Alone. We love watching Alone. But you ever notice when they catch one? It's probably because they're on camera, I don't know, but they'll say, thank you for your sacrifice or something like that. And I can't help it. I always say, you're not welcome at all. I mean, at all, ever. And I'll just go on as long as she's laughing. Because it makes her laugh every time, speaking up on behalf of those fish. They hate being caught, right? But I'll tell you this, when folks see the shining proof of your faith in the form of peace in your daily trials, big or small, they'll bite and they'll thank you. Because without Christ, true peace is out of reach. Because without Christ, shame is relentless. What are you going to do with it? And success is hollow. What's it all for? And life is pointless. We're always going to die. And death is doom. I guess it's just done and over. That right there, that's the bad news. That's the bad news that we all share down here. So why not share the good news? But don't expect to nibble till they see your proof of your hope beyond the grave. Because faith, if you want to know what faith actually is according to the Bible, faith is a substance. Faith is the visible, seeable stuff that people can look at and see. It's the substance of the things hoped for in your heart. You know, hoped for in Christ, hoped for in Scripture. Making your faith, the substance, the evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen in your heart. You gotta let people see it. They gotta see you have hope beyond the grave, because you have to have hope beyond the grave. It'll bring a peace. And you go, what if I don't have an answer? I don't know. What do you usually do when you don't have an answer? I say, I don't know. Okay, so do that. Just say, I don't know. Why is this a problem? You know, it shows humility. It earns credibility. Somebody asks you something about the Bible or Jesus or whatever, and you don't know. I don't know. Maybe we can find it together. It's what witnesses are expected and legally bound to say when they are unsure. I don't know. You know, but please figure out the reason for the hope that you have. Because if your faith is based on hearsay, it won't hold up on the stand before the judge or in the trials of life. So see, you know, for yourself, just go find it. See for yourself how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Literally find it, read it, learn it, own it. That we would be called children of God by His grace through our faith in His Son. And such we are. You get that, right? Such we are because of the blood of Christ. Now, for this reason, the world does not know us. It doesn't understand us. It doesn't get us, because you got to find that stuff. Because it did not know Him. But, by this following thing that's coming up, by this, the children of God are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not, you know, a child of God. So they're known because you can see them practicing it. Practicing what they preach. Nor the one who does not love, you know, as Christ loved us. Because that's the number one way that we practice righteousness. And I like that this, it ends with this. And do not be surprised if the world hates you, okay? They don't get it. They don't understand. But that doesn't let you off the hook. Because we can't shy away. You are a witness. Just like on the witness stand. You can say, I don't know. I don't know is totally allowed. But I'm too shy to speak is contempt. You go to jail for that. Shyness is not allowed. Because shyness has little to do with courage. You might have mixed this up, but I'm going to prove right now that shyness has nothing to do with courage. If you saw a stranger's toddler falling into a fire pit, could you ever be too shy to act to save them? Of course not. Of course not. Because to paraphrase 1 John 4:18, there is no shyness in love. Because love drives out shyness. Right? Therefore, since you and I, since we know that we have been justified through faith, so that we're all justified, never sinned, right? We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So, Do you stand firm in the peace of God's grace? And you should, because to have access is to have acceptance and approval. And oh, who doesn't love acceptance and approval? And not the formal access granted to a subject before a king, but the access of a child boldly bypassing all formality to come to their father, who happens to be king, right? Well, let us, therefore, as God's children, just come boldly to the throne of grace. Because you don't got it all figured out yet. So let's go to it again and again, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us stand in time of need of peace. We had two cats that we got at the Humane Society. Talk about a luck of the draw. Tiger and light bulb. Don't ask. They're both gone now. This was years ago. This is Tiger. Best cat ever. Tiger would roll over and expose her stomach when you came up to her. That is a cat compliment of total trust. And I would show people that I could stamp my foot right next to her. And she wouldn't flinch. She'd just lay there and look. When we would pull into the driveway, because they were in and out cats, she would run out into the driveway, roll over, and block us. And honking had no effect. And so once, I asked her to get out. I said, I want to see how close I can get before she'll move. And so I rolled up really close to see, and all she did, Char made a bigger fuss than she did. All she did was, meow, when the tires started to pinch her tail. And Char screamed at me. And so I backed off, and she just laid there like, I knew you'd back off. Because that cat knew that she knew she could trust us. This, on the other hand, is light bulb. Not really. It would be. But I don't have a photo. I don't have a photo, a good photo, because light bulb was scared to death of us for years, and then he died. He never got over it. On rare occasions, if we left the door open, sat like statues in the living room with a hand hanging over the couch, he would work up the nerve to come in and nuzzle our hand. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm touching light bulb. And then he would go lay down peacefully next to Tiger on the carpet. And the moment we moved, he would just panic and out the door he'd go. You see, Tiger knew the peace that far surpassed her understanding. But she knew it and she trusted it. But poor light bulb never ever knew the joy. He never knew that joy of the trust in our love. So I'll ask again, do you stand firm like a tiger in the grace of God's peace, or in the peace of God's grace? Or are you still a scaredy cat? We, you and I, we have gained access, just read this, by faith into this grace of peace in which we now stand. And look what's next. We rejoice in the hope. It's going to tell you what our hope is in. The hope of the glory of God. And we're going to define that because it has a definition that we all seem to overlook. We hope in God's glory. What's that mean? Well, we're told one place in the Bible it's defined. It's in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things. Our hope is in the concealed things. Which is why the Lord said, my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. These are such hope-filled scriptures. It's like, okay, because if everything was just as I see it, not a lot makes sense. He says, oh no, trust me. There is so much above your pay grade that you don't even know is going on. That just brings so much comfort. Right? Far beyond anything you can imagine. That's why Paul says, now you will know Christ's love. Kind of like a toddler knows the parents. They know it, but they don't understand it. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. Because the glory belongs to God. Because the concealed things belong to God, not you. Okay? Whose power of love is at work in us. And by this power of Christ's love, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Because the glory belongs to God. The glory of the concealed. The concealed things belong to God, not to us. Therefore, we rejoice in the hope of the unimaginable concealed things. Glory of the concealed of God. And then it goes on. And not only so, but see, now, this hope, there's so much we don't understand. This hope in the unrevealed, unimaginable, concealed things of God, because of this hope, we also can rejoice in our sufferings. Okay? Not for our sufferings. We're not masochists. In the midst of our sufferings, because we know, we don't understand it all, but we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, that's the grit your teeth and make yourself trust in God's glory. Trust in the things you can't see and cry out when you need to, like the guy that said to Jesus, I believe, but help all my unbelief. So that it'll bring perseverance. But here's the thing. Perseverance produces character. Character is the maturity to simply trust in God's glory without gritting your teeth. It's like, I've achieved it. I now do believe there is so much I don't get and that he is in control and he is loving. So character is the maturity to trust in God's glory without gritting our teeth in unbelief, like Tiger. And character then produces greater and stronger hope in what we can't even imagine, in the concealed things of God. Because our hope in the unseen grows and strengthens as we experience the reality of our own authenticity in affliction. And then all of a sudden we get and understand the surprising value of peace and grace and access and hope in this world. And hope in the glory of God does not disappoint us. Because biblical hope is not wishful thinking. That's what unbiblical hope amounts to. No, it's trust in the unseen in light of the power and love displayed. The toddler knows the parents' love, but they also trust it goes way beyond what they can imagine. Which is why we should be the most hopeful people on the planet. We have peace. We have grace. We have access. And we have hope beyond the grave. I don't know if you'll recall, but it was a year ago in August. A year ago, we welcomed Mark and Peggy DeSalle here as special guests. They were movie producers who wanted, they came up to join us. You remember this? Joined us on a Sunday after watching us for months online. And they just wanted to come up and be part of the church. And then they left and they'd been watching online. And Mark passed away almost exactly 1 year later in August, last month. And I attended his memorial last week. And when Peggy, his wife, saw me, she hugged me and cried and said, "He's in a better place. He's in a better place." And I'm thinking, what do you say? What do you say? And he's in a better place. I just took her by the shoulders and I said, "Peggy, know what I want on my tombstone?" She goes, "What?" I said, "So long, suckers." And she burst out laughing and double high-fived me. And you know why? Because she and we have a glorious, joyful, grace-based hope beyond the grave. We just have to remind ourselves sometimes. I told Char later that night, I said, "I kind of really do want that on my tombstone." I said, "Wouldn't that be great? So long, suckers." And then I asked several people, "Can I say that in church?" And they said no. But... but here's the question. Do you care to share? Do you care to share? Because Jesus said you will receive power. What kind of power? Power to love as he loves. It's right there. You can have it. You can do it. You will receive power to love as he loves when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ooh, there's kind of a gauge, isn't it? And you will be my witnesses. There we go. There's the task and the force. Oh, and I love this. Because we're mentioned in this scripture. In Jerusalem, that's not us. In all Judea, not us. And Samaria, not us. And to the ends of the earth. That's us. Here we are, right? We are in the northwest corner of what would have been their inconceivable description of the ends of the earth. And we're on a coast. So we are literally at an end point. Oh. So how does it feel? How does it feel to be stationed at the outermost outpost on this corner of God's kingdom? Hopefully it feels like you're up to the task. Because deep down, we all know everyone aches to escape the darkness. Because who doesn't want hope and peace and freedom and joy? So I'll leave you with this. Just be wise. Just be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Remember what makes life worth living, okay? When you're buying paint and they give you the wrong color. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation be always full of grace. And I'd say maybe even throw in a love ya now and then. Let's pray. Father God, oh, we love you, worship you, and trust you, and declare you. Holy Spirit, help us to wait patiently and watch closely and listen intently and speak effectively. Lord Jesus, how can we not praise you and thank you for your glorious grace in which you've made us stand? And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.